Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. Just a quick note to listeners before we get into the podcast today, we have the Metals and Mining Virtual Investor Conference coming up next Tuesday, the 22nd of February. It's a virtual event, so do get yourself signed up on the UK Investor Magazine website in the events section. We've got a number of companies covering a range of metals, including lithium, titanium, and gold. So, as I said, do check out the events section on the UK Investor Magazine website to sign up for that. So for today's podcast, we're going to be discussing a number of UK equities and key market themes. And to do that, we're joined kindly once more by Alan Green. Alan, thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, John. Good to be here again.
Yes, very sunny day here in London. So looking at the markets initially, Alan, we're seeing a rebound. Yesterday was a rebound from the sell-off on Monday, very sharp sell-off we saw on Monday around the Russia-Ukraine situation. Now, this is something that's really spilled over this week. Of course, it's been in the headlines and tensions have been building now for some weeks. But the market reaction was tepid. There was a blip when it first came out and first was thought to be a serious situation. But we have very quickly seen, Alan, any market reaction reverse. So whether that's looking at safe havens reversing, whether that's looking at risk assets such as equities bouncing back. I mean, in your view, was there ever any real serious thoughts in the market that there could be an invasion of Ukraine by Russia? Or was this always something that they viewed was a piece of theatre enacted by Putin to try and get the attention of the West?
Yeah, I think it's purely that. I don't think the markets for one minute took it seriously. And I think rationally, some Russian sympathisers may sort of feel Putin has a point, that he wants assurances that that the Ukraine won't join NATO. And of course, that's still very much on the negotiating table. But that's the point he wanted to make. And I think that's what all of the posturing, all of the exercises are down to. But that's just my view. Others may feel differently. But from the market standpoint, as we know, if there is a crisis and that crisis is set to perpetuate and to continue, then the markets have visibility and certainty, and they'll almost always rise on the news. You know, look what happened during COVID. The markets suddenly recovered, and certainly for the resource sector in particular, and for commodities, it was an incredible time, and double-digit returns, and some of the PPE companies, of course, delivered even greater returns. But of course, here we are now. We have the blip, the market blip about the uncertainty over the Ukraine crisis. That's now more or less been settled. I think, you know, it's generally accepted that really won't happen now. But so we then go back to the outlook for the markets, and of course, it's very uncertain at the moment. We have the legacy of Brexit. We have the ending of the furlough schemes. Companies emerging from COVID and lockdown and trying to return to normal, and all the uncertainty that creates. And I think we're going until we get some news on the state of the UK economy as we go forward. I think we're going to see more of this uncertainty. Of course, inflation as well is being driven. If we go back to the Ukraine crisis, the Germans were threatening to not open the Nord Stream gas pipeline from Russia, and of course, commercially, that would mean an awful lot to Russia. So that now will probably happen, and of course, once that happens, we'll be the recipients of some of that gas. So we may well see energy prices peak and start to come back down again. And it's really energy prices that have along with oil prices that have, of course, been the key driver of inflation. So we may well see a tailing off in inflation later in the year. And possibly the Bank of England may take the view next month that they no longer need to raise interest rates and we'll go back to the status quo. But at that point, also, we'll have some news on the state of the economy and some more visibility, hopefully, for the UK to trade upwards, downwards, or sideways.
Indeed. Of course, this morning we had an instalment of inflation for January here in the UK, 5.5% inflation. We're now running at that's a 30-year high. So yeah, as you mentioned there, there's a huge component of that is rising fuel costs. Of course, there's food costs in that. So that's going to be something that does dictate markets going forward. But you picked up there on two key themes that it is particularly important for one asset class that we're going to discuss in more detail now, and that was uncertainty and inflation. Now, I've been looking at gold in the last week, and you know, over the last few months, and what that's been doing, Alan, because we were discussing gold, you know, beginning of last year, and you know, its value as an inflation hedge. And how investors flock to it and have historically flocked to it in times of uncertainty. Now, just sort of doing a bit digging around on Twitter, there's a chap I follow called Charlie Bellio. He's a manager of an investment firm in the United States, and he produces some very good statistical tweets. Do check him out if you're on Twitter. And he put a very interesting tweet out at the beginning of this week, really sort of putting into the context over the last 10 years of some major market moves. And, you know, he recorded Bitcoin over the last 10 year up 946,000, Tesla shares up 13,000 over the last 10 years, Microsoft up 1,000% in that same period, the entire S&P 500 index up 290%. But gold only up 4%, Alan. And this is obviously, you know, we've had a period for you know, the whole of last year, really, where we're talking about inflation. And one would think that during this period, you would see investors move into gold, buy into gold to hedge themselves against inflation. And of course, just in the last few weeks, we've had the geopolitical uncertainty of Ukraine, but barely budged gold. So what's happening here with gold, Alan? I mean, are all these key themes that used to move gold no longer applicable to it?
Well, I think the thing is, gold has always been a safe haven, hasn't it? So it tends to do well in times of crisis, and certainly, you know, the crisis over the past few weeks in the Ukraine has seen the price of gold increase. Looking at the spot price now, I think it's $1,854 an ounce. And of course, it's had a good run really since the start of the year. But yeah, these prices, it's very much range bound, isn't it? And those movements tend to occur at times of uncertainty and crisis. It's always got its value, but in terms of a growth asset, it's more of a safe haven that provides a consistent return than one that will provide spectacular returns. Nonetheless, you know, it's still very much in demand as an asset for exploration companies and of course gold grades. Those crucial gold grades that companies discuss are still all important. But of course, often when you're exploring for gold, you find copper as well. You know, the geology often tends to locate those assets in the same place. So so of course now with copper being a key asset for the new electric era, that's the era of electric vehicles, gigafactories, and clean energy, these are key assets. But certainly I don't think you could look at gold as a growth asset. If there is a shortage, of course, that could change. As with any commodity, if there is a shortage, then there will be a price squeeze, as we've seen over the past year or so with iron ore and with other assets too. So so that's really, if you're looking for growth in commodities, that's really where you've got to look. You've got to look at where there's likely to be a price squeeze. And I think you can look at all of the key commodities that supply the new electric era, like copper. And of course, gold's a factor too. You know, gold is used in electronics. You also have nickel, of course, lithium, cobalt, iron, graphite. You know, all of these assets are key to components for this new industry. So it's well documented there's going to be a price squeeze and a supply squeeze in some of these commodities over the next few years. So I think that's where the opportunities will lie going forward.
Indeed, indeed. So looking around at gold, it brings us to a company that I think's due some attention. That's Greatland Gold. Alan, just looking so far this year in 2022, down 10%, down 62% from their highs around 38 pence. Now, they've had a raft of pretty astounding results that have come out from their world-class asset in Australia, but it hasn't done much to the share price. I mean, when we're looking at Greatland Gold, I mean, that rally that we saw up to 38 pence, I mean, was that simply, and obviously the fall off since, was it simply by the rumour, sell the fact of them having a world-class asset there, and now that news is priced in, investors just aren't interested in it anymore?
Well, in percentage terms, what Greatland, of course, Greatland has a much bigger market cap than a lot of its peers. And of course, these are companies that have assets in the same area that we discuss frequently. But Greatland, I think the share price has just come back proportionately to the same level that a lot of its small cap counterparts have. That said, of course, The company discovered the Havieron asset, and that discovery coincided with the with COVID and with the huge boom in commodity stocks. So it came right at the top. So of course, people buying at 38 pence, think it was going to go further. They've been caught out by this reset. But nonetheless, the value is still there, and as we've seen, I mean, the company has. It raised the shares are currently trading at 14.5p, and that's exactly the level at which it raised just under 12 million last year in a well oversubscribed placing. The company, of course, won the 2021 Commodity Discovery Award, the global award for the best commodity discovery. And I think, you know, Havieron is a standout. It's an incredible asset. And certainly Sean Day, the chief executive of the company, when he talks about Greatland and when he talks about Havieron, he just says it's the asset that just keeps on giving. It's, the drilling results from that area continue to astound. And then a recent update, of course, the assets undergoing a PFS study, the drilling results from the Eastern Breccia have confirmed potential for new high-grade mineralization. So you've got the original Havieron bullseye asset, and around the area, they're discovering more and more and more. It's such a huge asset, the drill rigs and the machinery and equipment building the decline construction are operating around the clock. They're operating 24/7. And I mean, some of the intercepts they've found around there was one at 98 grams per ton, 5.9 grams per ton, and a smattering of copper with that, 11 grams per ton. It's these discovery levels and the frequency and also the way the mineralization comes together within the asset that really gives Havieron its overall potential. So it appears not just the Havieron bullseye, but the actual region is developing into a huge gold and potentially a copper asset too. The other assets the company has, I mean, it has Havieron is of course a flagship asset, but there are assets at Jury, Scallywag, Riddell and Canning, Ernest Giles, Panorama, Bromus, Firetower. The Jury asset is another joint venture with Newcrest. Of course, the company joint venture with Newcrest to develop the Havieron assets. So Newcrest has taken on the heavy lifting, if you like. But certainly drill results from Jury showed decent grades per ton. In fact, grades per ton that were comparable with with some of the gold drill results discovered elsewhere in Australia. I mentioned ECR Minerals, of course, recently. Some of the results that came back from Kresik are on a par with or better than the Jury JV. So it goes to show that these sort of results, that's where you get these results repeated. Following the aeromagnetic survey, it then gives credence to developing the asset further. Additionally, work's been undertaken at the Scallywag asset, the fantastic name Scallywag asset, which is adjacent to Havieron, and they've conducted airborne aeromagnetic surveys there, which have identified further conductors. So it's just the company obviously has got a huge reputation on the back of the Havieron discovery, but it appears that it's not just the Havieron discovery. I think that region, the Paterson region, is going to deliver so much more to Havieron over the years. So at this point now, even though it's come back where it has, I mean, the company's got a market cap of 573 million, but it's still got potential, I think, to deliver much more from that region. And of course, that reflects on other companies operating in the region too. We've got Power Metal Resources, which has acquired FDR in the region, which has an asset in the Paterson province, which it's developing, and they've identified a bullseye that's similar in size and features to Havieron too. So it's a hugely exciting area, and of course, I think we're going to see more developments this year from the other assets owned by Greatland Gold. Nonetheless, given the boom that we're expecting in metals to supply the new electric era, the Greatland Gold assets also are looking at other assets that in the region that have copper and have gold and other minerals that will be used to supply the industry. So it's certainly not a one-trick pony. There are many more dimensions to the Greatland Gold investment proposition.
And I think we should explore just quickly the relationship between Greatland Gold and the price of gold, because I mean, looking here at a chart, we saw a very sharp rally in the gold price at the beginning of 2020. We came from around $1,400 to above $2,000, and then very, very shortly after that, we did see the discoveries coming through from Greatland Gold, and of course, that was the period we saw the great appreciation in the Greatland Gold share price. But since then, we've seen gold, really over the last 18 months, trading in a very tight range, as we mentioned previously, between 1700 and 1900. So it appears that interest waning there in the underlying assets. I mean, do you think that's followed through into the Greatland Gold share price? And as far as people are now looking at Greatland Gold saying, yes, great, you have the discovery, but I'm looking at the gold price and not a lot's happening, and there's lots of other things that are moving out there. So maybe we're going to stay away from Greatland for the moment.
Well, I think the thing is, Greatland is expanding. I think you need to look at the story in detail, and the Havieron asset from the original bullseye that was discovered, they're discovering spurs and new opportunities in the area around Havieron. So I think that there's more to be discovered there, but of course that's offset by a flat gold market and probably the drift downwards in the share price reflects that. But let's face it, Greatland did very well to discover Havieron, and I'm sure if they, they're looking in the same area, they own the same territory. So if they make another discovery there, then that's a great opportunity. And I think that will see an increase in price for investors. But also, as I said, it reflects is a very positive reflection on other companies operating in the area that possibly have much lower market caps and could offer, far more upside.
Indeed. I mean, looking, as you've mentioned there and outlined, the actual asset that they have there, I'm sure if we see the sentiment improve around gold, there's a hell of a lot of value to be had there. So definitely one to watch in 2022 as things progress there at Greatland Gold. So now moving on, Alan, to a stock that we've discussed recently on the podcast in Technology Minerals. They've had a particularly bullish note released on them this morning.
They certainly have. It's a very bullish note indeed. So, yeah, just to recap on Technology Minerals, that it's a unique offering in that it's a sustainable circular economy investment proposition for battery metals, in that it has a series of assets in Spain, Idaho in the USA, Cameroon, and also in Ireland. And the assets where they are at the moment, well, certainly at IPO last year, they were valued at 20 million. But I believe work is progressing, and we'll hear more about those assets in the coming weeks. But the activity has been focused since the IPO on developing the battery recycling business, and the company's on the verge of opening battery recycling plants in the Midlands to recycle lead acid batteries and also lithium ion batteries. So I mentioned the electric era. There's a huge upsurge in electric vehicles on the road. Lithium-ion batteries are now featuring in every aspect of life. You've got electric bikes. You've got mobile phones, old mobile phones. You've got laptops. It's literally the range of applications for the lithium-ion battery is almost limitless. So as a result of that, of course, these batteries have lifespan. They get to the end of their life, and you know that there are minerals which are, you know, potentially combustible and dangerous. So Technology Minerals have blueprinted an industrial scale solution to deal with and recycle these batteries safely. And in doing so, they create a series of byproducts. And of course, this is with lead acid batteries. You've got the recycled lead, which is very valuable in the marketplace. You've got the plastics, you've got the acid, and then with the lithium ion batteries, you create a what is called a black mass is created, and this sells for getting over £5,000 a ton, so it's highly valuable. And of course, these minerals are then recycled back into new battery production, hence the circular economy. Now the anticipated price squeeze that's upcoming in the battery metals will of course drive the prices much higher. I think in a recent survey detailed that the UK is going to need some 130 tons or more of cathodic metals by 2040, and Technology Minerals believes that with its recycling process, it can supply up to 22% of that. So that's a huge factor in the future value of the company. So anyway, back to this broker note. The Arden Partners published a broker note. Shares are currently trading about 3.8p, and the target price is double that at 7p. But this is pretty short term, because the Arden said that Technology Minerals offers this uniquely focused IP protected exposure to battery recycling, and it forecasts that Technology Minerals will be profitable from next year, generating earnings per share of 0.26p, which would jump to 0.44p in 2024. And this is because Technology Minerals has already signed one agreement with a company called Slicker Recycling, and it's created this system and infrastructure where the batteries come in and they're recycled safely, and it's done on an industrial scale. But I would also say that the 7p initial target price is based on is net of a 45% discount to the company's net present valuation, which reflects the lack of operating history, because of course the company came to market at the end of November last year. So if, as I think will happen, the company starts to deliver on the milestones it's laid out ahead of expectations, I think we could see that price achieved in fairly short order. Certainly the team behind it, you've got Alex Stanbury, who's a mining an expert in the mining arena. He's been working in mining and metals for 15 years, also working with JP Morgan over that time as well. And the chairman, of course, is Robin Brundle, who is the motorsport the automotive expert, and he's well known for his former racing exploits, and of course his brother Martin Brundle, the ex Formula One driver. So there's a very strong team, very media savvy, that are taking this this opportunity and driving it forward. And I think they've got, really, with the recycling process, they've got a blueprint that they could take to Tesla, and Tesla could plug into that, excuse the pun, and recycle all the batteries that come from their cars and put the black mass that's created back into production for the next generation.
So, Alan, of course, Technology Minerals, they've got a number of different business units that they're operating. Is there any indication at this point in which of these is going to be producing the bottom line for Technology Minerals going forward? I mean, is there a particular business there which has quite strong margin, is going to be very cash generative for Technology Minerals in the future?
Yeah, well, certainly, and the reason this, well, it's a unique business model, but the reason I think it works so well is that, as we know, we were discussing Greatland Gold just now and other mining companies, and those are very slow burn investments in many cases, until the discoveries are made, of course. But so Technology Minerals has five of those mining assets, and as I say, I expect to hear more about how those assets are developing in the coming weeks. But the actual cash generator short term is the recyclers business, which is the lead acid and the battery recycling business. And the company laid out some projections for turnover and profit from these assets for the first couple of years. I mean, turnover this year is expected to be about $9.5 million, with a loss of about $300,000. Next year, it moves into profit, is expected to turn over $28 million with a profit of $5 million, and then so on and so forth. So, $220 million turnover in year five. But that's just based on what the company has at the moment. The company, I interviewed Robin and Alex last year, and they very much expect to be bringing a lot more on stream, and also to seal many more partnerships in that time. So it's highly possible that the numbers that they've put out into the market are very conservative, and we could see a lot more growth from that. But the business that's the attraction of this model. You've got a highly cash generative business in the recycling business, and then you've got the blue sky potential of these mining assets that will be producing battery metals to go into the circular economy for the first time round.
Indeed. Certainly, again, like Greatland, an interesting company to keep an eye on in 2022. So just as a recap of the two stocks we discussed today, of course, to start with was Greatland Gold with a ticker of GGP, and just then was Technology Minerals with a ticker of TM1. Alan, thanks very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
Just as a note and a reminder, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we have the UK Investor Magazine Metals and Mining's Virtual Investor Conference coming up next Tuesday, the 22nd of February. So do get yourself registered on the UK Investor Magazine website in the events section. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.